Well, good morning. It's a happy Thursday. And Matt, you got this room warm and toasty this morning.
If it's too toasty, I can make an adjustment.
Well,
there.
I hope I don't nod off.
It's that toasty. Okay.
But it is a welcome. Our mornings are just a little bit chilly, but, you know, light coat. So welcome to Tucson. And I think we've been in kind of the high 70s, haven't we, all this
it's
week?
It's been a warm week. We've been pushing the 80-degree mark. We may have hit it a couple of times.
Beautiful.
And we're going to hit it through the weekend, too.
Beautiful tourism. If you're not coming to Tucson for Christmas, then you might be a little bit cold.
You mentioned people from Ohio coming out next week, and it'll be – because it's the week after, so the weather could – potentially change, but you imagine coming out from the Midwest and, you know, 40-degree daytime highs, 30-degree daytime highs, and having it be 80 degrees and you're wearing shorts. Oh, my goodness.
Well, of course, we're wearing coats at 65.
So. No doubt.
I was at an event yesterday, and the folks from Ohio, you know, said that we don't put a coat on until it gets to at least 40, you know, so and we don't have too many of those, but we're looking forward to the holidays. I mean, there are a lot of holiday parties going on, and I've had an opportunity to been to at least two of them. The Attractions Alliance had one over at Old Tucson, and I got one tonight, I think, at the casino. And I thought I heard maybe 400 people are coming to this one.
Say so, what?
Well, it's one of these networking clubs, so I'll be in good company with a lot of plumbers, electricians, roofers, real estate people. And you know what? It's a homeowner's dream to get to know these people.
Because,
sure. Because if you got a problem, you just pick up the directory, and they're on their way to you because they've sworn that they will take care of a fellow member. So,
cool.
Well, we're glad Matt and, you know, and I are here today to talk a little bit about the holiday, and we are waiting for a couple of folks to call in, but we're going to talk a little bit about something special that happened to me, but we won't talk much about me. We're going to talk about Davis Monthan and how important this Air Force base is to our community. Matt, did you know 18,000 people are associated in employment with Davis Monthan?
That is amazing.
About 13,000 military and the rest are civilians that are working at the base. Now, if you've ever been around that area, it's pretty amazing. It's massive. You'll see planes up and down the runway, helicopters, several ways to get in. Very difficult to get in, of course, because of the base security. But I've been in kind of directly involved with Davis Monthan from the passport area. They have a morale office there that sells the passports. It's a fundraiser for them and for us, of course.
This is the Southern Arizona Attractions tourism passport that anybody can get by going to southernarizonaattractions.org. Is it?
Well, Matt, you know, I appreciate the plug, and there are many ways to buy the passport,
okay.
But online is the easiest, and we have the new passport, but it's a little bit different than years past, but you can find it going to several places, but let's go with the Explore Arizona attractions.org or .com. One, you know, they both work, and you'll see that there's a family of passports involved. So you can there's over 100 attractions, buy one get one free and other discounts, and it's been around for, this is the 23rd edition, Matt.
That's fantastic.
And I've been involved with every single one.
Congratulations.
Now,
and up at the upper right corner, SouthernExplorerArizonaAttractions.org, hit the big yellow gold. It's gold, Tom, because it's gold. Get passport. Just click the button.
Is it gold on your screen?
Yeah, it is.
We're calling
it gold.
It's kind of gold. It's orangey kind of gold, but you know, it's the new one's out, and we're only selling the digital one this year because we wanted to have a family of passports. And what I mean by that, sometimes people only come in for 3 days and enjoy. Some come in for 7 days. And then anybody coming in after 7 days should buy the annual. And what's new about the annual, thank goodness, to technology. The countdown only begins, Matt, when you go to the first attraction.
Yeah, that's good.
So you can get it. You can give it as a gift, and it doesn't really start counting down. So the folks in Phoenix love the 3-day because they can come down here and just, you know, get a getaway weekend and go to as many attractions as they want to and get the discounts for 3 days. But if you're going to be here a little bit longer, like back-to-back weekends, we recommend getting the 7-day. And then, of course, the annual one. Now, it used to expire December 31st, and now, as I mentioned with this technology, is you get actually 365 days of enjoying the savings from your first visit to that whatever that first attraction may be. So there's, you know, the prices haven't gone up, $29 for the annual, and then you can get down to the 3-day for $18. You make your investment back at one or two attractions. So the attractions have gone up a little bit, Matt, but, since COVID.
Everything's gone up, Tom.
Yeah, you know, you think the nonprofits would, but they have expenses too, right? And so everything's gone up, but the discounts haven't gone away with the, and now call it the Arizona attractions because we've put in some folks that are associated with Arizona attractions, like the Arizona Theater Company is probably a good example, you know, where they have both a theater here in Tucson and a theater in Tempe.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of the attractions associated with the Arizona Heritage Society, you know, and they have one also in the Phoenix area as well as Flagstaff, and there's one in Yuma. The one in Yuma now is run by the Yuma Historical Society, and you know, so it's a great book. It's been around, as I mentioned, for 23 years, you know, and it in particular, we like to produce a new one every year, and it's just because we have the other thing about the digital versus the paper. It's tied to GPS, so you just tell your phone where you are, and it'll tell you how far you are away from that attraction. And of course, mm-hmm. there's a map in there as well. And the sister program is what we call the Visit Widget. It's like a travel dashboard. And we call it the sister because you can get it while you're on the website. It's seamless. You push the button. And then it has all of the attractions, but it has a lot more, Matt. It has all tied to GPS. It has all of this Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurants. Mm. So there's 60 or so of those, and those are changing all the time. And it has also tours. So if you want to go on a downtown heritage tour, we've had that gentleman here at least twice. We'll take you a wonderful historical tour. And, of course, the Presidio has walking tours. It's called the Turquoise Tour.
Yes, the Turquoise Trail.
And right? They're all curated, meaning that somebody's going to tell you stories about what's happened in downtown Tucson area. You know, and it's quite an amazing story. And you get to see some of the old historical houses from folks that, you know, been around, like the Corbett guy, you know. High Corbett was named after a real famous guy here in Drachman.
Yeah.
You know, some of these names that you might hear if you're a resident here. A lot of them aren't with us, but the kids are, you know, if they're here. But there's a lot of, there's really a lot of history in downtown Tucson. So we're really
and I have failed you because I took you on a detour from Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So the Southern Arizona Attractions Passport is kind of the way that you had been interfacing with Davis-Monthan Air Force Base because it's sold on base. And the nice thing about this is not only the discounts, but you get to find out a lot of you can learn about a lot of the places to go. So it's over at DM, and that's kind of your interface with
Davis Monthan wanted to have something where there are folks coming in and out of the base all the time on short little missions and so on. But they bring their spouses and their family with them, so they need some things to do. And the passport is available right there in the community building, or you can buy it online. We talked about that, and You know, now back to Davis Monthan. Now, that of course you probably heard, some listeners have heard about the various citizens groups that kind of bridge the gap between the military and the civilians here in the community. And of course, Davis Monthan around World War II, a famous training facility, and then of course the home of the A-10. They're around for a little bit longer. They're still training people, actually, on the A-10s. Hmm. The fellow that trains all the people, the pilots, is here in Tucson. He was active duty, and then he retired, and they hired him back to train. So they are actually still training people on flying A-10s, but they are almost phased out. And of course, as you, Davis Monthan always has new missions, so the base isn't going anywhere. I had the opportunity to meet the colonel, the commanding officer of the 355th Wing, and his name is Jose Cabrera. And nice guy. I see him a lot in big tourism events. Of course, he's a automatic board member of Pima Air and Space, or the Arizona Aerospace Foundation as well. And you know, I think that's what's unique, is that the folks that are coming in and out as the mission commander or the base commander of Davis Monthan are very involved in this community. And so one of those programs, but there, because there are many, is the, you know, it's kind of neat to be called a commander. You know, of course, you know, I make sure my wife calls me that every day, right, Matt? So, yes, Tom.
I bet you have the last word in every argument with your wife, and that is, yes, dear, right?
Well, she, I'll go as far as saying that I always have the last word.
Yes, dear, right? Is that, that's the old joke,
not
right?
Necessarily. But anyway, thank goodness for, you know, being married, because she's held me together after all these years, for sure. But so many years I've been associated with Davis Monthan, but I got introduced with Mark Irvin. As you know, Mark has been on the show at least a couple of times, and the Rio Nuevo guy, property management guy, head Rotarian, former president of the Rotary Club of Tucson, and then extremely engaged with the Honorary Commanders Program. And we're going to have a guest, we hope, knock on wood. You know, I don't know. Could be one of those days, Matt. We do have a gentleman also coming on, Peter Minot, and Peter is the Desert Thunder Squadron Commander. Now, what that is that the community leaders have an opportunity to interface with the 355th through the Honorary Commanders Program. And I had the opportunity, and Matt has kind of teased this, but there's a selection process. You don't always get in the first time, but you make an inquiry, and then, of course, it helps when you have friends like Mark Irvin that kind of can pull, you know, tell some good stories about you. You know, so last week, or maybe 2 weeks now, we had the opportunity to travel out to Davis Monthan and to be part of the ceremony, not necessarily a swearing in, but the appointee of being an honorary commander. And there was probably 20 or so other community leaders, and of course all the board members of Desert Squadron were there, and as I mentioned, the commander was there. The deputy commander was there. They had a rescue helicopter. They had a cargo plane, and they had an A-10 that were parked right outside the hangar we were in. So it was kind of cool. So you can hang out and see the airplanes on the helicopter close by. A lot of pictures were taken. We'll try to, when we come back from the break, because I Matt, you let me run over.
It's okay. You're on a roll, Tom.
All right.
We'll talk more about the honorary commander and the ceremony you witnessed when we get back. What do you say?
All right. We'll try to get Ellen on the phone as well.
All right. Super. We will be right back after this message with the Morning Voice. Pearl Bailey's going to play us out here with a gift that everybody wants.
Well, we're back. Good morning. I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're live here on 10:30 a.m., and we're also live on YouTube.
We are on YouTube. 10:30 The Voice is the
and
channel.
Facebook.
So yeah, I will cross-link to it to Facebook during the bottom of the hour news.
And I'm waving to you right now, so thanks for listening and joining in all the fun. We talked about the passport. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
So much happy that you are on the phone, and we've been talking a little bit about the Davis-Monthan base and the tremendous amount of employees that are there, and the $1 billion of economic impact, and we're just really enjoying being associated with the mission of Davis-Monthan, and you have been involved with Davis-Monthan base for a number of years, I understand.
Quite a few number of years. It's all Ellen's fault, actually. But yeah, I have been involved for at least 10 years. I became an honorary commander 8, 9, 10 years ago, and when I put in the application, I asked them to get me as close to the sound of freedom as they could.
Oh boy!
And so they assigned me to the Bulldogs, which is the 354th Fighter Squadron, the A-10 Fighter Squadron, and that's about as close to the sound of freedom as you can get. And the thrills started from there. I just got so hooked, and I'm just a real fan and the ultimate worker bee at Davis-Monthan.
Yeah, there's nothing like waking up to the sound of a Gatling gun, isn't it?
And that bird is amazing. I've been up to the Gila Bend Gunnery Range and watched them, blow things up a few times. I'm a boy, and I grew up wanting to blow things up and wanting to fly. I mean, this is so vicariously, I live through these guys. Always wanted to be a fighter pilot growing up, never got the chance to do it, and never got the chance to serve, so I serve now.
Well, it's amazing, and there is life after the honorary commander. It's a 2-year program, and you get invited to all kinds of things happening at the base, don't you?
Absolutely. You can... I got kind of lucky because, and it's the only good thing that happened to me through COVID, was that they didn't change out the honorary commanders as often as they do normally. So my stint with the Bulldogs lasted 5, almost 6 years.
Oh.
So it was great. But then afterwards, you get so excited about what's happening and the involvement. You know, you get involved with the base and you realize that how important it is, and you realize how important it is to bring the community to the base and the base to the community, and that relationship needs to be nurtured. So that's, it becomes a very important thing when you become an honorary commander, especially for that long. So then at the end of it, you go, there has to be more, and there is. So there's a group called the Desert Thunder Squadron, which is the former honorary commanders, and so that they can continue their relationship with the base and continue to serve those who serve us, and that's what the Desert Thunder Squadron is all about.
Yeah, and of course, Mark Irvin, a good friend of mine over there and from the Rotary Club of Tucson. Just a great guy that was in charge of, he was the previous president of the organization?
Yes. He's the immediate, I'm the immediate past president, and he's the immediate past president.
That's confusing.
I was treasurer for a couple of years, and then while Mark was president, and then, you know, you can only do this for so long, and then I took over as president, and did that for a year, and I've since passed on the guide on to Nancy Cole, who works at Pima County, who's wonderful.
Could you could you hold on just for the next break, and I want to learn more about these bulldogs that you that's some good stories. This is The Morning Voice, and you're on KVOI. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after these messages. Well, we're back, and we have a special guest is on the phone with me. Peter, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's like what you do to copper to get it out of the ground. You mine it.
You mine it. Okay. Peter Minot, who is the immediate past president of the Desert Thunder Squadron, which is life after being an honorary commander at the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And Peter was telling us before the break that because of COVID and some other, you know, circumstances around that time period, he got a chance to hang out with the Davis-Monthan fighter pilots and aptly called the, you said, Bulldogs?
Yes, the Bulldogs, correct.
Now, how was that experience?
Well, I have to tell you, one of the first things I did, because I came in right around November or something, I went to the Bulldogs Christmas party and met not only a bunch of the pilots but their families and their children, and I was amazed at what wonderful humans they are. I mean, it's just. These guys, guys and gals. I mean, there's plenty of female pilots as well, but these people are the cream of the crop. They're highly intelligent. They really know what they're doing. They care about their community, about their country, about protecting us. All of the things that you want in a human being, these guys embody. And I was floored. And at that point, I just said, I've got to do everything I can to help these guys and to be a part of this and to make a difference and make a difference in their lives, because I really want to support all of the things that they do, because I was just floored.
What a great opportunity and great bunch of memories that you have. Well, of course, we can't leave this topic without mentioning Dorothy Finley. I don't know if the listening audience knows this, but over the years there has been some challenges with the Congress and funding on Air Force bases, or all military bases for that matter. And I had the opportunity to travel to the Pentagon with Dorothy Finley. She was the Miller place, as we used to call her. And she knew the head of the Air Force personally. So she would never really travel with us because she was up 2 days before everyone else having dinner with the commander of the Air Force. And of course, she was one of the greatest leaders here in town. And you know what? We never lost our A-10 mission. I mean, it was threatened. And of course, this particular recent withdrawal of the A-10s, and they're still training people. Peter, I don't know if you know that, but we have at the Rotary Club a gentleman who was in the a trainer in the Air Force, of course, a pilot of the A-10, and when he retired, he started training the pilots. And he, you know, as of maybe 2 weeks ago, I asked them, and they said they're still training the A-10. So I don't know, you know. And I, of course, I asked them, Peter. I said, does that mean they might come back? And he says, I don't know this time. The 35s are out there, and there's a bunch of them. But he says, but you know what? They haven't told me to stand down yet. So, I don't want you guys to read anything into that. And of course, it's probably classified what missions they're on right now. But clearly, this gap between the honorary commander, obviously DM-50, has a big role. Community leaders, like pretty much all the elected officials, understand the importance of the military base. Obviously, as an economic development and tourism guy, you know, having 18,000 employees And of course, we have a wonderful air show every 2 years. And Peter, you know, when you do your 2 years with the honoree, and then you get to hang out with those same people for I don't know if is there a time period, or you can like go on forever as a
you can just keep right on going. Just pay your annual dues, and you get to maintain your relationship at the base and do things. Now, in speaking about the A-10, you know, they say they're retiring them sometime, not in 26 but 27. The war has changed. The war fighting has changed, and it's not as, I mean, the A-10 is all about the guy, the 18-year-old on the ground with a rifle and being
right.
being his rescue. But that war has changed, and as much as I love the A-10, and know there's no replacement, things are changing, and so I guess we have to be okay with the change. The good news is Davis-Monthan as an air base isn't going anywhere. They've got plenty of mission sets, and so Davis-Monthan's going to be fine, and that impact is like $3 billion that they bring into the Tucson community. So that's not going away. It's just going to change. But the A-10 is probably going to slowly weed itself out. But there are changes happening, and the way we are confronting our enemy is changing. I was fortunate enough to be picked to go to the War College in Montgomery, Alabama for a week and sat with, well, it was a total of about 500 or 600 colonels and generals and people from all over the nation and from partner nations across the world, and learn about, I mean, these guys go to this college for 10 months, but I got a serious education and drank from the blue fire hose for 4 or 5 days, and learned a lot about how this whole thing is changing. And the biggest thing I came away from there with is that we are in really good hands. This is the people that were there are the future of the Air Force, and they are just bright people, and we don't have a lot to worry about, but we need to stay vigilant, and we need to never let our guards down, and we need to be aware that there are bad guys out there, and that we've got to take care. We've got to make sure that we're ready for that. And as the way we fight changes, we have to change with it. So.
Yeah, you still hear about the tanks, but now it's the drones, and and I think they're really extremely challenged with this new way to fight a war, because these drones can travel, you know, thousands and thousands of miles, and you don't. I don't know if these things show up on radar or not, but it is quite scary, actually, if you think about it. But I have to tell you, the training, I had the opportunity when I was running a silver mining town in California called Calico Ghost Town. They have a fort there called Fort Irwin. Don't know if you know much about this, but it's the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, and it's an Army base. And they, every year, have large-scale war games. And they bring in the entire division and airplanes and tanks and everything. And I had the opportunity to sit in on one of these training days. And it was just absolutely amazing. I mean, they keep the equipment, everything that's part of the division, bring them all in by train, and then they have these war games. Of course, they're using lasers instead of bombs, and then you attended the pre games and the post game discussions with the generals. And here I am, just a little general manager of a ghost town.
with your jaw dropped down to your knees and your ears wide open. It's like, oh my God.
I know.
These guys are incredible.
And this is there are fun parts of being part of the honorary commanders. Tremendous amount of things you get invited to. And I got my DM card. Now I can go in and out of the base. Now, I forgot to ask him, can I can I go into the what used to be called the PX? I'm not sure it's called that now, but the,
you can go, but you can't buy anything.
I can just window shop.
You can shop, right? Or, boy, do I asked that question right out of the gate. Can I shop at the PX? No, you can't. You can go to the gym. You can use the gym.
Okay,
but you can't shop at the PX. So
you could be like Costco and pull somebody and said, "Hey, can I put this on the on your bill here, and I'll pay you back." You know, I have to tell you that one of the things that I remember from my experience at Fort Irwin was, and it happened that we were competing with all the generals, because after the war games, you got to go into this huge field and drive a tank. And you and of course the old Chrysler model, the M1 tank, you know, the general's got a chance to drive that tank because it's, you know, air conditioned and, you know, shock absorbers and everything. And I got the World War II tank.
But you did get to drive it, right?
And I got to drive it. You're assigned a crew of four, I think.
Right.
And so what is the name of that tank from World War II? Was it the
Abrams or something?
Yeah, something like that. And it's a smaller tank, obviously. But we got in there. We put on the hats. The air filters looked like they were from World War II. And we got to drive around and chase each other. And it was such a blast. But obviously, we all remember what these are. These are instruments of war. There was a lot of respect for the equipment that was there. So, hey, I want to thank you, Peter, for coming on board and talking to us a little bit about the Honorary Commanders Program and, importantly, the life after that program with the other Thunder Squadron.
One of the things I want to just throw in there real quick.
Okay.
One of the things that Desert Thunder Squadron is doing, we've just started a program, and Mark Irvin was really spearheading this, is still spearheading this. It's called the 1 Year Away Program, where we help the airmen who are transitioning out of the Air Force into the private sector. We help them in that transition so that the skill set that they acquire during their time in the military is translated into private speak, so that they know how to present themselves. They learn how to present themselves. The private sector learns what that's all about. They learn what they're getting when they hire a chief master sergeant, so that presentation and that understanding and that language, that translation happens, and therefore hiring and employment happens. And that's a very huge program that we've started, and we've got community-wide support on that. So dtsquadron.org is the place to go and check it out. But the 1 Year Away program is what we're most proud of these days.
Well, yes, and I thank you so much for bringing that up, because Mark has told me about this program. We had a briefing, you know, probably a year ago, where Mark was part of the program. And of course, there is a marketing department actually in the Davis-Monthan, and they market the air show. And I think I think this year we're skipping this year, and then it's going to come back in 2027. So, and you get to see the array of vintage aircraft, as well as the 35 is out there as well. So, Peter, thanks again for all of your service and for being part of a great community leadership program between Davis-Monthan, the Honorary Commanders, as well as the Desert Thunder Squadron. Thank you, sir, and take care.
Thank you,
all right. Merry Christmas.
Rescue and attack, and Merry Christmas. Yes. Hi, buddy.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Well, we're back for the last segment in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll be back after 8:03, and we're going to talk about Winter Haven. Matt and I are going to have to take over the realm there.
So, Tom, do I have to call you Commander, or what do I have to call you now?
Just salute. That's okay.
Just salute. Just salute. Okay. Do I need any sort of a special uniform now to be part of your corps? You know.
I might be able to find you a pair of wings when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
I'd be glad to share that with
you,
this Matt.
This is big news that you've broken. So you are an honorary...
Well, it is a great honor. There's
commander,
no,
right? Or an honorary... Well, what's the exact
term? Honorary commander.
Commander.
But, and I'm assigned to an actual real military commander.
Yeah.
I don't know if they, when we go away for the break between 7 and 8, maybe perhaps there's a picture I can find or something, because there was a ceremony at the depot. They called it the fuel depot, and they had, as I mentioned, they had three airplanes parked right outside the hangar. And you got called up on the stage, and as I mentioned, the colonel was there, the commander of the 355th. Can you imagine running an Air Force base and you're responsible for not only all of the airplane and the helicopters and all the other, you know, it's the 12th Air Force is there. And I mean, just amazing the missions that are taking place, but 18,000 employees. And you're a colonel.
Yeah.
Now, he does have a master sergeant that helps him. And there is a deputy commander. But, you know, these guys come in. They're career officers. You know, they're probably, I don't know, 15. Been around for a while to become a colonel. And all of a sudden, they're in charge of an amazing base that always has people, you know, out of the country, you know, on their own mission. So it was it's a great honor. It took me, normally takes you... two cycles in order to be engaged with Davis Monthan. Luckily, I have been engaged with Davis Monthan from the tourism standpoint for many years, friendly people. Now, we did 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I guess, we had a special program with the passport. We probably maybe ought to bring that back. But for every passport sold, we donated a passport to an airman. And that went over really well, and our co-sponsor was the Marana Health Center, MHC.
MHC Healthcare. Yeah.
And he's now over at El Rio. Is that the health outfit? Is it called El Rio?
There is an El Rio.
Yeah, he is now the CEO of El Rio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and great guy. And then yesterday we heard from the new head of Banner Health.
Yep.
And I think we're the only community with Tucson Medical Center and Banner Health run by female CEOs, and they have decided to work together.
I believe I met her the other night.
Yeah, and they have decided to work together on a an event that benefits all the programs around your heart, and I think it's the first time they probably worked together. You know, so what a great show! Thank you, Peter, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about Winter Haven, probably the largest winter fest we have here in Tucson. See you in a little bit. Well, we're back for another hour with the Matt and Tom show.
I think I already goofed up. It's honorary commander. It's not honorary captain.
You can salute me either way. That's either way. Okay. But we
by the end of your year, I'll be calling you Generalissimo. So it's...
Well, it, you know, what a great honor for two years I get to hang out with the I'm not sure I'm going to be part of the Bulldog group, but thank you, Peter, for coming on. And as you know, Tim is a little bit under the weather today, so we wish him well. And Tim was also a member and an honorary commander many years ago, as well as a one of the leaders of the Desert Squadron. So I don't know if Tim's listening, but Tim, we hope you get better real soon. Well, we've been talking. We started the 7 o'clock hour.
Dabney the Clown didn't get to him. This is just a cold, right? Because
I got a great story about Dabney.
Oh,
but I'll tell you that offline. But what a great character he was. And, you know, so normally Tim Bimmerstedt is on the air, and he talks about the events and festivals and that are going on. So that now falls on me today. And then we're going to end up with the one we're going to talk about for a couple of segments, we hope, anyway. So I want to make sure we are just full of holiday and events and festivals, and we've been talking about them for the last couple of weeks. But so I think in honor of that, Matt, all of our bumper music should probably reflect the season. If you could do that, that would be great. I know you've been playing some of those.
Yeah.
But play your favorites. I mean, didn't Burl Ives have one that was really...
Yes, and I busted it out yesterday, but we're going back to Burl today.
Let's find...
Absolutely.
He is...
Holly Jolly Christmas, Silver and Gold.
Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was... Was he?
That was Durante, right? Frosty the Snowman.
And then didn't he sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, too? I think... Anyway...
He must have covered it.
We're going to play the Christmas favorites of, two guys. Burl Ives and Perry Como.
Burl Ives will be coming up, sir.
And Perry Como.
You're the captain, man.
Perry Como. Remember Perry?
Yes.
And Andy Williams, you can throw him in there as well. Those are, if you want to throw in Bill, what's his name? Bing Crosby, that's okay, too. I don't know if we have that many breaks. Great, great festivals that are going on right now. It'll call Lights Up. Festival of Illumination. We had Sue DiBenedetti on last week to talk about this wonderful festival where they decorated the entire Tucson Botanical Gardens, lower level, higher level, the new train exhibit. It's just an amazing. They have a cafe there serving Christmas delight. Food and hot chocolate, and it goes on from it's on now, but through January 11th. So if you have some of those folks that are coming just for New Year's, so you'll be able to see that festival. The other event is Holiday Nights at Tonal Chule. Once again, great light show.
I bet you that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and that goes on through December 21st, so you don't have much time. This weekend will be the last weekend. But you get to stroll through both botanical gardens and enjoy the Christmas cheer. Now, probably the largest winter festival is called Winter Haven.
Yeah.
And you it's a community of about 200 homes. And what would you say? Is it Midtown or a little bit to the east? Or how would you?
I'd say considered north side. So it's Fort Lowell and between Tucson and Country Club there.
Now, they've been holding probably the longest running holiday tradition. And they're celebrating their 76th year.
Yeah.
And it's going on now through December 27th. And it's nightly. It's not just the weekends, Matt.
Right.
From 6 to 10 p.m. Now, if you had a favorite memory of Winter Haven, we'd like to have you call in. Is that okay, Matt?
Absolutely.
And they can tell us a little bit. We'll put you live on the air, and you can tell us a little bit about your experience. Now, they used to do horses. Mm-hmm. Buggy rides and wagon
rides.
Sure. Don't do those anymore. They do. It's a walking thing now, and they have food out there. It's a whole event. But of course, the 200 homes that decorate themselves with dazzling lights and handmade decor and theme displays. It draws 200,000 visitors annually. Okay,
isn't that something?
That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is now the chair this year is Kate Marquez, and Kate is the brain behind SACA, which is now called Art State Arizona. They've really gone statewide. Saver. Is their big event over at it's kind of like the Taste of Tucson themed in multiple ways. In other words, they have the best margarita, the best taco, the best salsa. I mean, all of these events around the city of Gastronomy, and it used to be called SACA, Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. I was a board member for 12 years and helped it grow along with great other community leaders, and they did the plunge about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Kate is the executive director, and they tapped her to run Winter Haven this year as the chair. And let me just say, when you have a 30-year expert on running festivals, and she is asked to run, you know, the 76th year, it only is getting better.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely, just getting better. And with that, her 30-year plus experience, and she was going to be on live today, but she is it's a community effort, certainly, and they dedicate donations for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. So it's a nonprofit organization tied to a community food bank, and she's the one man show when it comes to media. I don't know if we got bumped, but on the other hand, we really appreciate her and being part of and being chair. And she's been on all the channels, and she was on KVY.
Yeah, last week with Ed.
And yeah.
You know, maybe it's one of those things where you got to go through all the strings of lights and find the one that's bad. So she could be saving Christmas right now as we speak.
Well, I have to tell you, she's made the event better.
Yeah.
Better and bigger. And you know what my wife did when we hooked up the tree and the top didn't work?
Okay.
She went online at Amazon and bought another 100 string light.
Oh, well, there you go. See?
For $12.
For $12.
Okay. So for $12, it was worth painstakingly going through 100 lights and figuring out which one is burnout, not sitting right in the in the sleeve or whatever it is. And I said, just go to Costco or Amazon, and she went to Amazon, and the next day she had all the lights lit up, and we were ready to start celebrating the Christmas season. We celebrate Christmas in the Moulton household. Winter Haven, that's a lot of people, 200,000 through.
That's something.
That now, I don't think you can drive through there.
I think
anytime
you walk
at all
now. Yeah, I think it's a walkthrough.
Well, it's a walkthrough, but yeah, I mean, as far as during the year, I don't think you can just take your car and drive through Winter Haven. But what we do know, the festival's going on through the 27th, and we have some statistics here that we want to share with you on what. Is new in 2025, and you're absolutely right, Matt. It's a walking first format.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no trolleys or hay rides this year. The emphasis is on pedestrian experiences. So, what's really neat about that is you can walk through 200 homes at your own pace.
Yes.
With your family, it is a family event.
It's leisurely. It's enjoyable.
That's right.
Yeah, it's very festive.
Yeah. Now, there are a couple of mobility options. One of the things she has been working on is to make it more accessible. Accessible, is that the right word?
Yes.
For people that might be in wheelchairs or can't walk for the distance. But so Arizona Party Bike and the Silent Adventures, there are mobility options,
yeah.
Okay? They have also an assisted living drive-through nights for seniors and mobility limited guests.
Very special.
So you have the website up, don't you?
I would be remiss, and I'm going to do this before Ed texts me and said, don't forget, but I believe the Boys Chorus, the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus, has a parking lot along Fort Lowell about 100 yards west of the entrance there at Christmas Tree Drive or Winter Haven Drive, but it's just west of the main entrance, and it is you can park there. It's a physical therapy business, and I'm trying to find the name of it, which I'm not doing a very good job of, but it's a physical therapy business. It's on the south side of Fort Lowell. It's about 100 yards west of the main entrance to Winter Haven, and you can park there and help support the Boys Chorus.
Yeah, you've heard it here live on KVOI. Thank you, Dr. Ackerley, our boss here, for the Morning Voice. And he'll be on tomorrow, actually. And he's got a whole slew of guests that are coming on. And I don't know if you got that posted yet on Facebook on all the guests he's got.
It will, you know, post, but we'll be early this afternoon.
Yeah. So if you want to learn about all the folks that are coming on, go to KVY.com. And Dr. Ackerley will be on from 7 to 9 with his show. And it's usually a lot about the University of Arizona, all the positive stuff that's going on. You know, and I learned the other day, because when I was in economic development, they were giving about $600,000 in money for research. And that is now $1 billion that the U of A receives from various sources. A lot of it's from the federal government. And for research, $1 billion. We had an opportunity to sit down with the president of the U of A, and he talked about how important the students were. It's all about the students. But a big part of it, of course, is the $1 billion that they're spending on the wonderful research that's coming out of the U of A. And, of course, NASA is involved with the U of A, lots of space exhibits that are out there. And, of course, there's 24 attractions. I had to go through that yesterday with the U of A folks that I don't even think they remembered that we added two more last year. So there are now 24 attractions that we feature and talk about, all the exciting things that are going on. And that's from the arts and, lots of arts attractions and science attractions, the Biosphere, Flandreau Science Center, the Poetry Museum, the Pharmacy Museum. I mean, a lot of these are free. And if they're not free, they're included in the passport for a special price. So, we're going to get back to a little bit more on Winter Haven after the break. So this is the Morning Voice, and we're talking about everything holiday and Merry Christmas to all of you. And we're going to enjoy just a little bit of music here throughout the next 45 minutes to get you all in that festive spirit. We'll be right back. Well, how special is that? I get to hear, folks that I grew up with, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and Burl Ives and all of those animated Christmas specials are back on Charlie Brown's Christmas.
You believe it's been 60 years since they did that? 65.
Is that right? And you know what? It's still as entertaining as it was back then.
It is.
I got my two grandbabies, 3 and 7. And I get a chance to drive up there. I think we're Sunday and Monday. We'll be there. Actually, we'll be there through the new year, and get a chance to watch all of those all over again with them. We rented a big house, so the entire Moulton clan is coming in from Toledo and Chicago and God knows where else they're coming from, and we rented a house. So either we love each other on the first day. I can only imagine what it's going to be like after spending 8 days in the same house. Of course, we have side trips and stuff like that going on, but so I don't have to.
How much better could it be? You've got Commander Tom, organizing all the visits and attractions. This is right in your wheelhouse, man.
Actually, I have my master sergeant doing all the planning. Her name is Ellen Moulton. But behind every commander, right, is a beautiful woman, right?
Absolutely.
So, or the other way around, because yes. Commanders are also they're not all men, as we heard from Peter saying, wait a minute, there's also women fighter pilots too, mm-hmm. So we got to remember that. Definitely a wonderful opportunity. Thank you again for reminding me. I don't know if you can get a camera shot.
Well, if you could hold it up. Well, hang on a second. Let's see, Tom.
Can you sneak it down a little bit?
I can't gimbal the thing from here.
Here we go.
If you hold it up just a bit.
Let me, Let me we have so many logos on the screen.
You know, we're trying to
but let me hold it up.
Market here, dude.
Okay. Now, so what this is a shameful plug for the Christmas version of the Arizona Attractions Passport. This is a gift card, okay, which basically means that you can buy this online. It's an annual digital passport, but it talks about all the region, and you open it up, and it's got a map of all the different areas of where the attractions are, and, of course, the very important screen where you actually learn how to load it, put that app on your phone and enjoy it for 365 days. This is the first time we've done a gift card. Try to, if you want to order it soon, because I got to either come pick it up in my office downtown, or we can mail it to you. But it's something that we wanted to do something a little bit different with the passport this year. And so, and we're going to give these away. All right.
Okay.
We're going to give two of these away. And again, it's good for a annual digital passport. It's good for 365 days. It's a $29 value, but you're going to save a lot more as you go to each attraction, because a lot of the offers are buy one, get one free. So Desert Museum is in there. The Flandreau Science is in there. It's just a number of different ways to take the family and enjoy. And we're going to go ahead and let's give out just two of these to one person, okay? And if you can tell us who was on the last Christmas song that we just played, who the artist was, you can take these home with you. Matt will get all the information from you, and
I'm going to get their phone number, and then you're going to call them.
And I'm going to get their address delivery. And everything, yeah, okay. And get it in the mail to them today. All right? So,
if you'd like a Southern Arizona Attractions Passport, two gift cards.
Yeah, two gift cards.
Give me a call, 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040. And we'll be giving you some gift cards for the Southern Arizona Attractions Passport.
And there it is, right there. Okay. All right. Well, we forgot. I got a call. We forgot one of the major Christmas festivals that are going on. And I don't know how I would have done this. But Old Tucson has a Christmas festival. And it's an Old West Christmas.
Yes.
And it's called Yuletide at Old Tucson. And we had the opportunity to have our Christmas party there, the Attractions Alliance. And we saw our favorite clown there. Dabney was there. But Dabney was in special holiday makeup. And that's kind of a sight to be seen, a clown in holiday makeup. But we had a great time, and that's going on oldtucson.com. And they have thrown everything at it. New shows. Santa Claus is there. He lights up. You got I don't know what they're called, but let's call them the fractured fairy tale gnomes that are on high atop one of the buildings there. Making comments about your holiday dress, it's just a great opportunity. Again, so many festivals that are going on during the holidays. I have to say, when we got a few moments, that we will not be live next Thursday because it's Christmas. And Patty, the general manager, was so nice to give everybody, two days off, right? You got Christmas and New Year's off.
Yeah, we're closed Christmas and the 26th, and we're closed the 1st.
So we'll have the best of.
Which you're going to have to tell me, which is the best.
Yes, the best of.
I'll pick it for you. I can do that.
The best of Tom Moulton.
There you go.
The commander.
Honorary Commander Tom Moulton.
And I have to do two of those for you, Matt. So we'll give we'll get that information to you right away. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice on KVY, 10:30 a.m. Well, welcome back to the Christmas hour here at 10:30 a.m., the Morning Voice. We're enjoying some of the old favorites from Bing. And, boy, I tell you, we did everybody but Dean Martin. Maybe we can find one of his.
We can do that.
We can do that.
Absolutely.
Our audience is diverse out there, and they're all on their way to work, or they're just hanging out with their morning coffee. And, you know, God, can you believe it's only a week away, Matt?
I know.
Yeah, I know.
This year went quickly, and this month since Thanksgiving went by at blinding speed.
It does, and it's hard to get a lot of work done. Let me tell you, when I get into the office, there's nobody home. But here at Bustos Media, the five stations are running every 24/7.
Indeed,
and we really appreciate and a big thank you. I should give out a big thank you. To Bustos Media and to Patty, the general manager here, and to Dr. Ackerley for allowing me now to be on the air for almost 2 years now.
Yeah,
so our anniversary show, I believe, is, I want to say it's January 16th, but we need to check on that, Matt, because I want to make sure that it is my truly anniversary show, and we'll bring back some of the, you know, the intriguing stories about tourism. Tourism is doing fine right now, and we have a new brand for Visit Tucson, and we want to make sure that we kick off the new year with a lot of new and special announcements. Sure. And, of course, the second anniversary of the Morning Voice, especially the Thursday show with Commander Tom Moulton.
That's
there,
right. So you gave a quick recap of fun Christmas things to do around the Old Pueblo. We did Tonochil Tea Room. We did Old Tucson. Also, or not the Tea Room, but Tonochil Park, I should say. I don't know if you got to it. Winter Haven, obviously, that was a big one. Also, the Botanical Gardens. They have a nice holiday light display, too.
Oh, huge, huge.
Yeah.
And you can go. There's three websites that we highly recommend. One is certainly our sponsor, visittucson.org. And they have a great event calendar featuring not only all the holiday events, but all the other events that are going around in town. And, of course, there is This Is Tucson, which is our other sponsor.
Okay.
Tucson Media Partners.
I did not know that.
Not necessarily a sponsor of Bustos, and I hope but they're a sponsor of the SAAA.
Great.
So they provide some funds to help me pay some of the bills, and we appreciate those for Kim and they have some great people there at the Arizona Daily Star. Sandra and Kim are my primary contacts there, and we really want to appreciate their support as well. But most important, the support of the listeners, because ever since now we've gone on YouTube, people recognize us now, you know, and just walk in the studio just now is a new celebrity, you know, who...
I don't know if I'd say that.
Well, good morning, Nick.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Nick was a huge celebrity in radio, been in Tucson for... How long have you been in Tucson?
I've been here a little over 8 years now.
Yeah, and he was on another radio network, but Patty was... We're so proud of Patty to lure you to be here with the five stations and Bustos Media, and being the official Hispanic station of the U of A.
That's right.
Is that basketball?
Basketball, football, even soccer as well.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so we love you, the U of A.
Yes, and of course, bear down.
We talked about 24 members. Or attractions at the U of A,
right?
And they're a member of the SAAA, and we really appreciate everything that they're doing. A little shout out to Nick and Julie and the rest of the gang there. They're very visible throughout the community, and community relations is very important. But it's also very important to the five stations here,
of course.
And you know, Nick, you're brand new,
right?
We have to tell Patty that Mr. and Mrs. AI doesn't know you exist.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Patty, if you're listening.
He's carefully crafted that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's, no, you're actually on the groove now, right?
So, I am, yeah.
And you're on every morning?
Every morning from 6 a.m. till 10.
So not only marketing and promotion and programming and, you know, celebrity radio, you're also live on the air.
I'm the janitor, too. I throw out the trash at the end of the day. I basically do what Matt tells me to do.
Well, you know, it's a big job programming five radio stations, and I know you had a lot of experience from the previous job, but we're so happy to have you here and seeing folks like Matt and myself. I've got in trouble with the FCC at least twice, and I apologize, Nick.
I must have been off those days.
Yeah.
I think I was off those days. But hey, since we got Nick here, you know, and we can shamelessly cross-promote one of our other shows, Nick actually, so Rich Valdez left the Westwood One and moved, or left, yeah, Westwood One and moved on to his own thing. So our overnight show from 12 to 3 is now hosted by a guy named McGraw-Milhaven, who Nick actually had some experience with.
Yeah, so I started my career in St. Louis. Worked my way up the ranks and eventually worked at a legendary news talk station, KMOX 1120 in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Where McGraw was at, got to know him, and he had jumped around the radio dial a little bit in St. Louis, and so excited that he is now on 1030 The Voice.
Fantastic. And I had to live only a partial of my time with my three other brothers. Who became a disc jockey on WLS in Chicago. And not a bad dig, you know, for him. And I should say. And he had such a great voice that when AT&T was, you know, the early days of virtual operator, they picked him as the voice of AT&T.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So he had a really nice career with AT&T, nice pension.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he'll call me with his deep voice, you know. And I said, yeah, WLS radio. And, you know, he started out at a 5,000-watt station in Augusta, Georgia. And I remember this because the Beatles started on the radio in the 63 in 64 or 62, I guess it was. And my brother learned how important music was to his life, and he shared it with his three other brothers. But seeing him hearing him on the radio was such a treat, especially WLS with its 50,000 clear wattage out there. Wherever we went, wherever I lived, we could hear my brother on the radio. But so you get to be, you know, we get to see you today.
Yeah.
All right. So you're more than just a radio personality now. You're now a YouTube personality.
I'm famous.
A multimedia force.
Yes.
Yes.
He does exist, folks. Even though Mr. and Mrs. AI doesn't know who the hell he is or where he is. You know, and, you know, I think we should just tell Patty.
Hey, Nick, how do I scrub myself off the internet?
I'll tell you during the break.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Well, a little secret is that Patty probably wouldn't be happy about what they're saying about this guy because it's not Bustos Media.
Not yet.
But it's coming,
I hope. It's coming, yeah.
We got to have this big party, Matt, okay? So,
okay.
Patty, we need the big party introducing Nick to our radio community here, you know.
Well, you're part of the rollout.
Well, I only got a chance to be here.
You're an honorary. So the honorary commander is
that's right.
That's the imprimatur that we all seek.
Somehow I don't see Patty saluting me, but I would dearly salute her.
You could do that as a contract
for sure. And you know, this is truly talk radio, and I mean, KVOI took over the stations when was it 2018? I think it was, if I remember my history. And have really done some wonderful things. And, you know, when you listen to KVY throughout the 24-hour period, tell us a little bit. There are some really strong talk show celebrities on this show.
There are. And that was one of the things that when the opportunity presented itself to come over here, that I especially loved the fact that KVOI is part of the roster here at Bustos Media, just because between the Morning Voice, between Kathleen Wynn, Bill Buckmaster, those are just, it's a strong lineup to really start the day. And then you look at the shows in the afternoon, you look at our great weekend shows that we have as well. I mean, this is a fantastic talk radio station, and one that I am so honored and so privileged to have the littlest bit of my hand into.
Yeah, and these folks are international celebrities.
Yes.
I would say most of them are. But we have some also how-to-do shows
yes.
on there, especially the money guy, the money show guy.
Yeah.
He's on in the
Dave
afternoon.
Ramsey, one yep. to three.
Yep. yep. And now, is he local or is he from Chicago or something like that? I can't remember now where he's from.
Tennessee, I believe,
Tennessee,
is where,
his, okay.
where he's got his studio. And it's quite a knot, by the way. Vertical integration, that guy's got quite an operation going.
Yes,
he absolutely does, and I listen
and
to
And you
him.
Can actually stop there as a tourist. They've got like a, you get a tour, you can watch the show. I think somebody was telling me they got a cafeteria. It's quite an operation.
We need to set up that operation here.
Just we should.
By
we,
the
could,
window
we, should. We could do that. You know, there's that building next door. We'll just move them out, okay?
yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you, Nick, coming on, you know, at short notice, and we really appreciate everything the station does for the Morning Voice. It gives us great promotion. And, you know, the five of us hopefully aren't too demanding. You know, I still want to do a little bit more on the remote side
yep.
as we get into the now that we're in the winter season, but the spring festival season, I like to be out there at, you know, a lot of the festivals. And I think it's exciting. You know, when you have a live remote that goes on, and and you're bringing them back.
Absolutely.
The drive, my friend's Matt over there on the air, and he's out. And then this guy that has buttons and pins, and I have my pins stolen from Ken Carr.
The master of self-promotion.
Yes. I have one of his pens. I have his button on my door. Because I had the opportunity to office with the drive when Jim Arnold was running it and the famous Bobby Rich and Fletcher McCusker. They were a great ownership group, but now they're here.
Yes.
And getting good ratings, I understand.
Fantastic
all the
ratings.
Are.
It's another station that just so excited that it's part of the Bustos Media roster that how could you not get excited to come and work with a station like the drive?
Now, let me also say, if there's a section in town where, you know, there's some interference, they stream. Every one of the stations is streaming now?
Absolutely. And that's the best way to listen to any of the stations. You don't have any of those interferences. You don't have the audio dropouts. You stream off your phone. You stream off your computer. If you're at home, stream off a smart speaker as well.
No, it's fantastic. And then, of course, when Patty and your predecessor decided to go with podcast and being live on YouTube and Facebook and maybe LinkedIn. Remember that conversation?
No, yeah.
Because this business community here listens to radio and listens to the community talk, and they get insight from KVOI in particular. And, of course, the folks, the lineup, 7 to 9, Monday through Friday. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with General Maxwell. Come on now.
Absolutely.
You know, from SLLC. Or to hear all about all of the wonderful bars and restaurants and everything. From you might not know where he is, but he hangs out over there at St. Philip's Plaza, and he's very visible. And then you got, you know, we are going to miss Bill though
yes.
from the station, and I know he's got some other things.
But he's not going to be. He won't be daily, but he is going to hang out here. He'll be here every Friday, Tom.
No,
every
yeah.
Friday in 2026.
That's good to know.
So yeah, he'll still do a show here on Fridays.
I didn't hear that. So that's
late,
great.
Late, recent development. Yep.
Yeah. Now when does he go off live?
Last live show is I'm sorry, Nick. You can.
No,
use,
no, no,
the 30th is Tuesday the 30th.
He can bang on the window a little bit.
Is
Matt,
his last?
No. That let the Matt's program guy answer
sorry.
That.
Sorry, boss. Force the habit.
Matt's flying this ship. So.
But yeah, last daily show is Tuesday the 30th, which coincides. We found out with Bill Buckmaster Day in Tucson. Thank you to the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Oh, Bill, when is Bill Buckmaster Day?
December 30th.
December 30th.
The same day as his last daily show. And then he will take a couple days off, and he'll be back on Friday the 2nd. And then that will start his Friday show.
I wonder who his guests are for December 30th. It's got to be somebody special
to
listeners,
him. Everybody's going to call in. I don't know. He told me. He told me a while ago, and I filed it away for safekeeping.
That's okay. That's all right. Well, Nick, thank you again. We got to go to break, but we appreciate you coming on. We appreciate the fact that you're here. The skills that you learn at that other radio station now belong to Bustos.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and only new and better things are going to happen. So, again, thank you for coming on the air with me.
Thank you.
And again, I know it was short notice, and I'll let you get back to the groove.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
Well, we're back, and boy, we're almost out of time, and we've been having so much fun here talking about all of the Christmas and holiday festivals. And I got a little text from my friends Crystal over there at the Downtown Partnership. She said, don't forget to talk about the Downtown Holiday Lights in Jacquemie Plaza. Am I saying that right? Jacquemie?
Jacquemie with an H.
God, I really screwed that one
up, didn't
I?
Jacquemie Plaza.
I should know what that means because I used to work at Pima County. Tree lighting, carolers, food vendors, and community gathering to December 20th through the 24th. And, you know, of course, Downtown Tucson Partnership is the website. Lots of websites, Winter Haven, festival. We'll tell you all about all the wonderful things that are going on until 27th. And then, of course, Yuletide at Old Tucson and Tucson Botanical Garden with their Lights Up. To hear the backstory of Lights Up that we heard from Sue was absolutely an amazing, maybe I know it hasn't been that long, but you know what? Since that was a special show about Tucson Botanical Gardens, and, maybe we might consider running that as at least one of the segments because it's Christmas Day. I don't know if you won't be driving to work, but, you're sitting at home, KVOI.com, and you can hear it crystal clear, no interference, as Nick mentioned. But if you're in the car, just turn on 10:30 a.m. They're not going to do away with AM radio. So rest assured, tune us in. And, of course, you'll learn more and more about what makes Tucson a very special place with its cultural activities and certainly its holiday lights. So we won't see you back here until January 8th. Take care.